Only Llewellyn was charged with treason, a crime punishable by death. The governor had a problem finding a judge to replace the former one, Brimage, who would now be on trial. Finally, someone was found, and James Iredell, later a U.S. Supreme Court justice, served as the prosecutor. Llewellyn was convicted in September of high treason and 17 others of a lesser charge. Leggett wrote a desperate letter from jail to Caswell in early December. "As an humble advocate to plead in some measure, that so it may abate the severity of your just displeasure and appease that stroke of justice that I have incurred upon myself by my horrid transgression and folly," he begged for bail until the court session, "the winter being very cold and I being destitute of my necessaries." Eventually, all but Llewellyn were allowed out on bail because of terrible conditions in the jail. Oddly, many Whig leaders supported going easy on the plotters. Supposedly, Mary Llewellyn rode to the home of their neighbor Nathan Mayo, yes, the same man her husband threatened, and asked him to speak on John's behalf. Not only did Mayo agree, the story goes, he escorted her to Hillsborough, 90 miles away, to gain her an audience with the governor. Caswell agreed to a pardon. But the legislature called for Llewellyn's immediate execution, unless the trial judge thought otherwise. The judge did so, pointing out Llewellyn didn't try to escape when he had a chance one time, and mentioning the effect his death would have on Llewellyn's family. Caswell issued the pardon. The land you are on had been seized, but was restored to the Llewellyns. By 1793, they held captive 26 enslaved people, including Chain, Nance, Tony, and Neptune. John died that year around age 80, and Mary passed away 14 years later. Nathan Mayo was an executor of Llewellyn's will, and his son married a Llewellyn daughter. Half of Peter Tyler's property was taken by the state due to his conviction. Later, he may have served in the British Army. Post-war, he was harassed by Patriot neighbors to the point of filing a lawsuit. It failed, and he moved to Kentucky. As for Brimage, the court decided there was not enough evidence against him. He refused to take the state's loyalty oath, however. Finally, the next April, Brimage left for New York, where he was greeted by the last two royal governors of North Carolina. He became Attorney General of Bermuda, but went to Charleston during the 1781 British invasion of this state, hoping to return to his family. That invasion's failure kept him there, and he sailed for Britain the next year.